Hello, this is Spencer DeVries, lead pastor of the Well Fort Payne. Thank you so much for tuning into our podcast today. It's our hope and our prayer that every time you listen to one of our services, that your life is changed by the power of the Word of God. So I encourage you today, listen with open ears and an open heart. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly and receive it with gladness.
That's actually what I want to talk to you guys about tonight, is fasting. Because we are going to start our fast Sunday morning, and we're going to fast through Wednesday night. That is, and the theme of it is until He comes. As we anticipate, as the bride of Christ, we should be looking for the return of Jesus, right? That we should be expecting and hoping and waiting for Him to come. Just like those of you that are married or have you know had a wedding before. Could you know that anticipation that you get as you're excited and you're waiting and you can't wait to see the one that you're going to spend the rest of your life with and make that covenant, those vows with them. And that's the same kind of heart that we should be having. And so we're going to be looking forward to the return of our first love, Jesus Christ. And so I want to talk to you about fasting because when it comes to fasting, I think that a lot of people just don't know how to do it well. Right? And so it becomes this point of anxiety when it comes to, I don't know about you, but I've already, and I will be completely honest, I have already fought anxiety about fasting because your body says, I can't do this and I don't want to do this because you are denying your flesh. You're saying no to your flesh, and your flesh, no matter how long you walk with God, you still have to learn how to deny yourself. That's why Jesus said, if anyone is going to come after me, let him first deny himself, take up his cross, the book of Luke says, daily, and follow me. And so anytime that you are preparing, the enemy's going to try to tempt you. Your body, your flesh is going to go against. And so I want to help you prepare so that you're not anxious, so that you have the best fast that you've ever had. Maybe you've never fasted before. That's okay. This is a great time to start. You know why? Because there's going to be a lot of us together, people that are not there's a lot of people that are going to be fasting with us here together as the body of Christ, the Well Scottsboro, the Well Huntsville. We're all going to be fasting together. So you have a great support system. This is a great first time. Maybe you've tried in the past and you failed at it. Guess what? Try again. Try again. It doesn't mean you're not cut out for fasting. It means that maybe there's something that you didn't yet know or didn't understand about fasting. Hopefully tonight this will help. So what I want to start with is looking at the Word of God. We're going to read some passages of Scripture. And I'm going to start in Matthew, the 4th chapter and the 2nd verse. And this is right after Jesus had been baptized. The Holy Spirit had descended like a dove. He'd gone into the wilderness. He'd fasted and he'd been tempted of the devil. He'd resisted the devil. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 2 says this, and when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterward he was hungry. I'm like, thank you, Matthew, for pointing out the fact that after 40 days of no food, Jesus actually began to feel hungry, right? Like I'm hungry in 40 minutes. I don't know about you guys, especially when I'm on that post-Christmas diet. I'm telling y'all, the fast is going to be my best friend. It's going to be my worst enemy and my best friend all at the same time because I've gotten in some bad habits after Christmas time. There's just too much sugar intake. But fasting, here's the cool thing about fasting. Fasting will make you physically hungry, but you know what else fasting will do? It will make you spiritually hungry. After 40 days of no food, he was hungry. I'm going to tell you this. If you are struggling in your hunger for God, and I don't know about you, but I've hit times in my life, seasons where I felt like I got stuck in a rut in my hunger and my desire for God. Fasting will relight that fire of hunger and desire for God. It will make you hungry because you're saying, you know what? I'm not going to fill myself with all of this stuff. I am just going to focus on Him. It will help to stir that hunger and that desire to know Him more. Matthew 6, 16 through 18, Jesus says this, moreover, when you fast, do not be like the hypocrites with a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces so that they may appear to men to be fasting. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you fast, anoint your head, wash your face, so that you do not appear to men to be fasting, but to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who is in the secret place will reward you openly. So this tells us a few things. Number one, it tells us that there are rewards attached to fasting. Because he says that when the hypocrites, they fast so that everybody can see them, they've already received their reward. He says, but if you will fast in secret and you don't fast to men, you fast to God. You're not committing to me to fast this next week. You're not committing to the well to fast. You're fasting to God. And you're fasting to God alone. And it says that when he sees you in the secret place fasting, he'll reward you openly. So here's one thing I want you to get. Fasting is not an exhibition. You know what an exhibition is? An exhibition is a public display of works or art or items of interest held in a gallery or museum or at a trade fair. Fasting is not an exhibition. It's not, hey, look at me. Look at what I'm doing for God. I'm going to go, I'm doing water, nothing but water for 4 days. In fact, I'm going to go 5 days while everybody else is going 4 days. It's not about proving how long you can go without food. It is for God and it's for you. You don't fast for the well. You don't fast for me. You fast to draw closer to God. Mark chapter 9, verse 29. So he said to them, this kind can come out by nothing but prayer and fasting. Now what had happened is a father had brought his demon-possessed son to the disciples and they tried to cast him out and they had no power to do so. And they came to Jesus. They said, why can't we cast out the demons like you do? And Jesus said, this kind only comes out but by prayer and fasting. Some things, Brother Dale was talking earlier about chains, things that are on your life. There are some things that you can only get free from through fasting. Because Jesus said, this kind of stuff, this demonic oppression, these things that have a hold on your life, they can only come out but by prayer and fasting. So I believe that you're going to step out of this fast. If you will fast and commit your time and yourself to the Lord and not fast for people but fast for God, there are going to be things that are going to be removed from your life, that you're going to walk out free. Acts chapter 13, 1 through 3. Now in the church that was at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. Paul. And they ministered to the Lord and fasted. And the Holy Spirit said, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Then they fasted and prayed and laid hands on them and they sent them away. So fasting will bring about answers from God. Because as they fasted and prayed, God answered, and he said to them, now separate to me. So he gave them the answer to what he wanted them to do. He revealed his will to them. So maybe you have a question mark in your life that for months you've been praying about it. For weeks you've been thinking about it. And you're like, do I go this way? Do I go that way? Do I do this? Do I not do this? I believe that you're going to get answers through prayer and fasting because as they fasted, as they prayed, God answered. And I want to help set you up for successful fasting. There's nothing worse than committing to fast on Sunday through Wednesday and finding yourself in the McDonald's drive-thru on Tuesday afternoon and then wallowing in shame and pity that night because you had a Big Mac and a fry and that good Coca-Cola. You know what I'm talking about? McDonald's Coca-Cola just hits different. It's better. So that's not what we're going for. I want you to see fasting like this. I want you to see it in three things. So often when we talk about a fast, we think, okay, our fast is the 7th through the 10th. That means Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, I cannot eat. That's not how I want you to view fasting. I want you to view fasting in a three-leg journey, okay? The first leg is preparing. If you're not preparing to fast, then you're not going to have a successful fast. The second leg is abstaining. That is the period of time where we abstain from food or whatever it is that we are fasting. And then the third leg is debriefing. So you need to prepare to fast, and then you need to actually abstain from something, but then you need to debrief. And we're going to break these down. I want you to see this. The fast doesn't begin Sunday. The fast begins right now. Because now that you have this, you go, okay, from now until Sunday, I'm going to begin to prepare. Fasting is one way that we love the Lord our God with all of our heart, our soul, our mind, and our strength. Because in fasting, there is a connection to your heart. If you're not fasting with the right heart, just like Jesus said, if you do it like the hypocrites, it doesn't really matter. So you've got to have the right heart. with all our heart, with all our soul. It's a soul. When we're fasting, it's not just going without food. It's going deeper. It's getting into our soul. It's our mind. You will battle in your mind while you're fasting. In fact, that's one of the greatest hurdles that you will have to get over is your mind while you're fasting. And then with all your strength, that's with your body. And so as you fast, you are loving God with all of those faculties that he gave us to do. So let's talk about preparing, because that's the first leg of the journey of fasting, preparing. Benjamin Franklin said, failing to prepare is preparing to fail. So when we do not prepare for fast, I don't know about you, but I have planned or committed to fast and found myself failing in a fast before where I ended up eating. I gave in. Now, here's the deal. If that happens to you, what do you do when a horse throws you? What are you supposed to do? What's the old thing? Get back up on the horse, right? Get back up on the horse. If you, it doesn't mean your fast is over. You can start back right there. Okay. Now, I'm not giving you a license to go to McDonald's on Tuesday afternoon. What I'm saying is if you were to fail in your flesh, don't let the devil have the victory. Start over. Though a righteous man falls six times, he will get back up again. So here's what I want you to when I talk about preparing, have a plan. Tomorrow morning, what I'm going to do is after I wake up, when I'm spending my time with God, I'm going to write down my fasting plan. Now, my fasting plan is going to look different than your fasting plan. What I'm going to do Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday is going to be different. But when you make your plan, when you prepare, you need to take some things into account. You need to take your employer into account. You need to take your schedule into account. And you need to take your family into account. You may say right now, I'm not going to eat anything for 4 days. Now, we have Julio and Millie are expecting a child. Millie can't go 4 days without eating food. She's growing a baby on the inside of her. So her plan is going to look different than maybe your plan. Maybe you have a very strenuous and rigorous job. I remember one time we were doing our church-wide fast. We were doing 8 days. You guys are getting off easy. We're just doing four. We were doing 8 days, and we were on day six, and I hadn't eaten anything. I'd only drank water. I was 19 at the time, and I was working in a car cleanup shop. And I was detailing a truck, it was a Silverado, I believe. And I jumped out of the back of the truck onto the concrete floor, and my knees just buckled underneath me, and I just went straight to the ground because I hadn't eaten anything for 6 days, and I was working, and I was exerting energy. So I had to go eat a pack of crackers and drink a bottle of water, and then I was ready to go. But you need to take into account, what can I do in reality? Because if you're showing up to work and you're employed, I talked about this a little bit Sunday morning, but if you're showing up to work, your boss deserves you at 100%, okay? So if you don't have the type of job that you can sit back at a desk and you can just relax, you may have to eat a little something, and that's okay. That's why you need to choose your plan. But don't go into it going, oh, I'm not going to eat anything, and then you find yourself on Tuesday afternoon, you're like, I need to go home because my head is pounding. I'm no good to them. I'm no good to anybody, right? So have a plan. Make a plan. Take everything into account. Do not set yourself up for failure. Set yourself up for success. Look at fasting this way as you prepare. Fasting is a growing experience. It's a growing experience. That's really all it is. And so this is not a contest, it's an offering. We're surrendering ourselves to God. You know what, one thing about fasting? There will be no medals presented on the stage on Wednesday night. You completed your fast. It's between you and God. Now I understand that the Old Testament definition of the word fasting is to cover one's mouth and abstain from food. I understand that. And you should be choosing, I hope, to abstain from food in some shape, form, or fashion. But I want you to understand this. You do not have to only drink water for 4 days in order to fast. You need to choose your fast. So can you put that up there, Shelley? Choose your fast. Okay. These are some fasting options. Water only. Okay. That's a great fast to do. But like I said, now in the Old Testament or even in the New Testament, when people fasted, you know what they did? That's it. They fasted. Like when in the Old Testament, when they would say, call an assembly and call a fast, everybody ceased from work and they just sat down and they fasted. They didn't still go work at the Department of Transportation. They didn't still go to RTI and work. Because the whole nation was fasting. Okay? So You can choose to do a water-only fast if that's what God tells you. You can choose to do a liquid-only fast. You may have some juice. You may have some broth. You may have some vegetable, you know, some tomato juice or something. You can also do a Daniel fast. That's where you eat fruits, vegetables, and grains only. You can find that in the book of Daniel. That's how Daniel and his companions lived, and they were 10 times better than the men that ate the king's feast. Now, there was a man by the name of John Wesley. He founded the Methodist Church, and he did once a week what was called a Wesley fast. That's one meal a day, typically eaten in the evening time. He would begin to fast at sundown on Thursday, and he wouldn't eat again until Friday at 3 p.m. So maybe if you're working, that may be a good option for you. You're not eating anything all day, and then you come in at night, and you may have a light meal. Maybe you have a salad. Maybe you have a bowl of soup. I don't know. Maybe you just have some fruits and some vegetables. We used to call it back in the day, when you put a Daniel and a Wesley together, you get a Wesleyan. A Wesleyan is when you only eat at night, but you eat only what Daniel ate. Okay? And then you can do a media fast. Now, I would encourage you, no matter what fast you choose, to involve this one in it. Take a break from media. Don't get on Facebook. Don't get on Instagram. Don't watch the news. You know, you may say, but the national championship is on Monday night. Don't worry. It's Michigan and Washington. Nobody cares. So a media fast, you know, just say no to that. Here's another one. Vices. You know how many people that we've had over the years of doing a fast at the Well, which this year the Well turns 10, by the way, which is really cool. Over the years, we've had many people that chose to fast cigarettes, chewing tobacco, or alcohol during the fast, and they never touched it again. And they didn't go without food. They just chose, you know what? There's one guy in particular. He said, I've been drinking way too much. I'm going to fast alcohol. And he has not drank again, to my knowledge. There was another gentleman. He chose to fast chewing tobacco. He has not dipped since. Okay, so maybe there's some things in your life, and that's where, remember, this kind only comes out but by prayer and fasting. Maybe you have something you've been trying to defeat. Maybe it's as simple as a Diet Coke addiction. You're like, I can't go without Diet Coke. I can't go without Coke Zero. I can't go without Coca-Cola. I can't go without Mountain Dew. I can't, whatever it may be, whatever. I could name all the drinks, you know. Maybe for you it's Monster Energy drinks. I don't know. Go without it for a few days. Deny yourself. So choose your fast. And here's how you prepare. Start praying now. Lord, help me. Every time you feel that anxiety, I don't know if I can fast. I don't know if I can do it. Lord, help me. Lord, speak to me. Lord, strengthen me. Lord, show me what I need to learn. Show me what I need to know. And here's another thing. Start to wean yourself. This is part of the preparation process. Wean yourself from caffeine. Wean yourself from excessive sugar, an excessive appetite. Maybe you've been getting two helpings every time, go down to one. If you're going to try to fast, trust me, do not set yourself up for failure by just going cold turkey. If you've been like, that's why I said tomorrow morning, I'm making my plan, and my plan doesn't just start for Sunday. My plan starts for tomorrow because I want to set myself up for success. I can't stay on the post-Christmas diet and expect a Sunday morning just, I'm ready to go. Y'all will know Sunday morning if I come in and I've gone cold turkey. I don't know what y'all should expect. But wean yourself. Any of these things, begin to cut it out. You know, maybe spend less time with the TV on for the next few days. You know, start cutting down. Start drinking. Here's another thing. Drink a lot of water. But start preparing now so that you can finish well. Okay? So preparing. The next part is abstaining. That means that once we've chosen this fast, I'm sorry, go back to that, the last one if you can real quick, Shelley. Thank you so much. Once you choose what you're going to do, that's your goal, that you're like, okay, that's what I'm abstaining from. That's why I encourage you to write it down, put it on paper. Now you can go to abstaining, excuse me. Abstaining, keep your focus in the right place. Once it starts on Sunday, the biggest temptation that you're going to have is to focus on the very thing that you chose to abstain from. It's like that's going to be magnified in your mind. Like if you choose that you're not going to eat, trust me, I've been there before. You're like, you'll get an urge. I want to watch Food Network. I don't know why, where that came from, but it's like Guy Fieri is like the coolest guy in the world right now. I just want to binge watch Guy Fieri drive around in a Corvette and eat burgers. You know what I'm talking about? If you're abstaining from, you know, soda. It will just dominate your mind. And so get your focus in the right place, because your mind will naturally want to think about whatever you're abstaining from. So don't let it. So focus on God, because by focusing on the very thing that you're abstaining from, you're missing the whole point. The reason that we're abstaining is so we can focus more on God. The reason we're going without entertainment is so that we fill that time with spending time with the Lord. The reason we're going without food is so that we can take that time, that devotion that we would normally give to our flesh, and we're going to give it to God. So if you're keeping the TV off, maybe try this. Read the Bible with your family. Pray together. Sometimes we'll play games during a fast because our children are still children. We'll take it and use an opportunity to spend more time together. Sit around and talk. Read a book, right? But read the Bible. Choose, and here's the other thing, choose joy. Remember what Jesus said. When you fast, anoint your head with oil. Wash your face. Don't go around with a sad countenance so that people ask, you know, about your... I remember we did a fast when we lived in North Carolina. Well, our church did a fast when we lived in North Carolina. I didn't do as much fasting as I could have or should have. But I was, I remember the whole fast, amongst the staff, the question was, how much weight have you lost? How much weight have you, we were doing a 21-day fast. How much weight have you lost? No, not one time did someone ask, what has God spoken to you? Like, what are you getting out of this? I was like, is this a gym? Is this a health club? Like, what's the, you know? And so I'll be honest, like, I stopped fasting and I was like, this is not a fast. Like, I don't see the point in this. Like, we're just like doing a cleanse. This is just intermittent fasting. This is not. And so I kind of, you know, maybe that was wrong of me. I don't know. But I know that when we fast, we should fast with a purpose. Fast on purpose for a purpose, and go, you know what? And let it be part of your conversation at night. Talk to your spouse. What are you getting out of the fast? Not, are you as hungry as I am? You know? Man, I just want to watch TV. But say, you know, did God speak anything to you today? What'd you get out of your Bible reading? This is a spiritual emphasis week for us. And really, we should live every week with a spiritual emphasis. But it's amazing how having this kind of jump start at the beginning of the year can set you on the rails for a year of seeking God. So I don't know who said this, but I've heard it a lot, and I believe it to be true. Fasting is not about getting more of God. It's about God getting more of you. Because God has already given all of himself. He sent his son. John the Baptist said, he gives his spirit without measure. We know as much about God as we want to know because he gave us everything we need to know in the word. He gave us 1,000% access to his throne room. So it's not about getting more of God. It's about giving more of yourself. Especially if you are choosing a complete food fast, you're abstaining from food, make the word your entree and prayer your appetizer and dessert. That's what I try to do. I try to take time. Every time I would typically eat a meal when I'm fasting, I try to take time and read the word and pray. Because I want to fill myself up. Because my spirit man still needs to be fed. So fill up on his word. You know, the Bible says, or Jesus quoted the Old Testament, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So your physical being may be hungry, and you will get hungry, but your spiritual person will be thriving. And it sets the tone for the year to come. So here's a natural thing. If your fast involves the abstinence from food, drink plenty of water. Make sure you're doing that, please. If you're going to go without food, you need to hydrate. You need to double hydrate. And you also need to do this. You need to get plenty of sleep. One thing that I think you don't understand when you're fasting is sleep will help replenish what you're not getting from food. So don't stay up until 11. What are you going to stay up and do anyways, right? I mean, you got nothing else to do. So you might as well, yeah, can't eat, can't watch TV. You might as well go to sleep. So you may find yourself in bed at 8:15. Guess what? That's okay, right? Go to sleep. You may be like me and you're in bed by 9 o'clock every night anyways. But another thing that you need to, that I would encourage you to do is join us on Sunday night in Scottsboro. Join us on Wednesday night next week. We're going to have a time of worship because you need to surround yourself with like-minded people. It will help you to keep going. And remember this, we're all in this together. When you're tempted to give up, remember, we're in this together. Yes, I'm fasting for God. Yes, this is between me and Him, but this is something that I have other people around me that are doing it as well, and we're doing it together. All right, so you need to prepare, you need to abstain, and need to debrief. So debriefing. What do I mean by debriefing? Don't crash and burn when you come off of the fast. You know, like Wednesday night, thank God it's over. Honey, what is the number to Domino's, right? It's like, I can't get it in me soon enough. I remember when I was in school of ministry or internship, discipleship, whatever we called it back then, we did either 7 or 10-day or 21-day fast back then, and it kind of rotated every year. And we always broke the fast at Huddle House in Scottsboro. And that was literally the worst thing you could put on your stomach, was Huddle House. I don't know where. We were obviously lacking wisdom. We were young. And I remember one time, Pastor Joel Tinker and I, we went to Zaxby's. And we were like, everybody else was going to Huddle House. We're like, nah, y'all, we're going to Zaxby's. And I remember it 15 minutes after eating, he and I were laying on the floor of my apartment. We'd gone 10 days without eating anything. We'd gone like water only for 10 days. We were laying on the floor of my apartment just killing ourselves. So you need to come down off of the fast. You need to ease. If you do water or liquids only, introduce food slowly, minimal intake. You'll thank me later for that. But here's also what I mean is reflect. Take some time and debrief from the fast and get a notebook out and go, okay, God, what did I hear you say? Or maybe you already wrote it down. Go back over it. And don't just be like, checked it off the list. We're done. Like, we fasted for a reason. We fasted to give more of ourselves to God, to get answers from God, to get set free. Maybe take a notebook and write down, this is what God did during this fast. This is what I'm free from. This is what I'm not going back to. You know, maybe ask him, is there anything that I adopted during this fast that you want me to hold on to? Is there anything that I let go of during this fast that you don't want me to pick back up? Because you may find out that he's saying, you know what? I don't want you to go back to that. Why? Because you're healthier without it. You're better off without it. So with successful fasting comes results. We already talked about the reward. Now, here's the thing about results. Do you know what results equal? Results equal change. That means that when you are done fasting, you and I should have changed in some shape, form, or fashion. Because remember, it's not just about getting more of God. It's about giving God more of us. If we give God more of ourselves, don't you think there will be a change in our heart, in the way that we talk, in the way that we eat, in the way that we listen, in the way that we live, in the way that we entertain ourselves? And so don't waste what you just spent time investing in. That's one of the biggest things I've learned for me about fast. It's like, whew, thank God it's over. And I just go, it's so easy to just go right back to normal life. But like, what do I need to carry out of this? Reflect so that you can retain, okay? Now I want to close with this. Once again, I want to remind you, fasting is not a beauty contest. It's not a spiritual beauty contest. It's a personal and corporate offering to God. That as he looks down and he sees the body of Christ, or the portion, the body part of the body of Christ, because we're not the body of Christ, we're simply a part of the body of Christ. And he looks down, he sees us and he goes, they are denying themselves. They're giving me, and he receives glory. He receives honor from that. And so it's not about, look at me, look at what I'm doing. This is why I say, choose the fast. You know, over in the book of Isaiah, and we looked at all New Testament scriptures tonight because I want you to understand that that fasting is not just an Old Testament concept, it's a New Covenant discipline, okay? And when we fast, but that's where I was going, but in the Old Testament, in Isaiah, God says this. He says, this is the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bonds of wickedness, to basically feed and clothe the poor and the hungry. And so he's saying, my fast is not necessarily what you think fasting is. Because you see, in the old covenant, it was all about just external things. In the new covenant, it's all about internal. What's the heart? So that's why I say fasting is loving him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. It begins in our heart. Fasting is not, because listen, there's people that are of other religions that fast, and they fast a lot longer than 4 days. There's monks that sit in caves for weeks and don't eat anything. There's people, you know, that are focused on their physical stature that they do intermittent fasting and they only eat for 3 or 4 hours out of the day. So fasting in and of itself is not spiritual. Fasting with the purpose of giving yourself to God is spiritual. And that's why we need to prepare our mind, our body, our heart, our soul, our spirit. And we need to abstain. And then we also need to debrief and go, okay, God, I want to retain what I learned in this season. I don't want to just check it off and I did my duty. Give me my award. I fasted for the year. I went 4 days without food. Look how spiritual I am. No, let there be disciplines that come out of this of, you know what? I prayed more while I was fasting and I felt so much closer to God because I was giving him more of myself. Why would I go back to not praying as much as I am now? I was listening to a sermon this week by a gentleman by the name of R.T. Kendall, and he's an American, but he pastored in England for many years, and he's well up in age now, and he said that he was encouraging people about finishing well. And he was talking about having a prayer life, and he said, when I grew up, he said, you pray, as a Christian, you prayed for 30 minutes a day. That was just a discipline. He said, the earliest memory I know of my dad spiritually is my dad prayed for 30 minutes a day. He said, and guess what? My dad was a layman. He wasn't even a pastor. He was just an everyday person. He worked a job, but he prayed 30 minutes a day. He said, so when I took the church that I was pastoring in England, he said, I encouraged everybody to pray 30 minutes a day. He said, and you would have thought that the chandeliers fell in on everybody. Just the air sucked out of the room. He said, and I had a deacon come up to me after church and say, sir, 5 minutes is about all I can handle with prayer. And R.T. Kendall said, that told me more than I needed to know about that gentleman. 5 minutes of prayer was all he could handle. And so let it not just stir your prayer life, let it increase your prayer life. Don't let it just stir up, oh, I'm going to read the word because I've got nothing else to do. Let it, remember one thing that fasting does, it makes you hungry, both spiritually and physically. So let's hunger and thirst for the Lord, and let's not fail to continue in the good habits that we produce through the spiritual discipline of fasting. Amen. Stand to your feet with me tonight. I want to thank you guys so much for being here on a Wednesday night. And I look forward to the rest of this year, getting to be together on Wednesday evenings and just grow together in our walk with the Lord, and I'm excited about the fast. I know that sounds crazy to say, but I really am excited to see what God speaks and how much we surrender during this fast. I love that we sang about surrender so much tonight, and that's what fasting really is saying, God, I surrender. I give you me. And so make your plan. Choose your fast, and make sure that you choose your fast prayerfully. That's one thing that I should have said earlier. Don't just say, oh, you know what? I'm going to go without TV. Don't just always pick the easiest thing. Don't always just pick the hard thing. Pick the right thing. Pray. If you're husband and wife, maybe tonight, tomorrow morning, pray. God, show us what fast. Another thing is if you have children, we encourage our children to fast. We don't do TV. And we don't eat sugar and sweets and drink soda during the fast. They can handle that for 4 days. They will be just fine. In fact, they'll be better because of it. And so choose prayerfully, choose your fast, and ask God what he has for you. Father, we come before you tonight. Thank you that we get to live in your kingdom. And Lord, help us as we embark on this journey, this spiritual discipline of fasting, and even as we begin to prepare now. God, I just declare our fast doesn't begin on Sunday. It begins now as we prepare our hearts and our minds and our bodies to present ourselves for your service, to do whatever you want us to do and live however you want us to live. God, let it be a spiritual rejuvenation for many. Pray that for those that have grown tired, weary, that it would be just a rekindling of a fire and a desire to know you more. And so, Father, I thank you that we get to fast. And I pray that you would help each and every one of us. God, help us to remember each other in our prayers and that we're doing this together. And Lord, I pray that you would help us and strengthen us and that you would receive this offering that we give to you as our fast. And we say, Lord Jesus, we look forward to your return. We bless you and lift you up in Jesus' name. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. cause his face to shine upon you, be gracious unto you, lift up his countenance upon you. May he keep you in his peace. May he smile all over you, and may you walk in the plans that he has prepared for you, fully obedient to him, blessed in everything that you do. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you guys. Have an awesome week. We love you.